Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
And only to be outdone by our own Nate Bauer, I believe, won yesterday. Welcome, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. I didn't expect to be on so soon after my win.
Congrats. Hey, way to avoid the creek.
Oh, my God, that poor guy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, he mentioned Mickelson. Mickelson at Wingfoot, of course, you know, took out Driver when he needed three wood or an iron. Just put the thing in play. He's up two shots. And I mean, yes, that same thing with him. I mean, he, you know, take out a three wood or an iron, just put it down there. You gotta, but remember too, by a half an inch, he missed that birdie putt on 17.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, that was big. All right. So how you been? Good?
I've been great. My full terrible disclosure here is I actually didn't see live yesterday's action.
All right.
I spent the weekend away. I followed it. I knew it was happening, but in the car. So, a terrible disappointment, but worth it given the weekend out of state college.
Every time. Know? Nope. Worth it every time. No, I was out of town the weekend before. So, yeah, doing things like crawling on floor with grandchild.
Yeah, you know, that was the thing is we typically don't take our kids, like when we a quote unquote vacation, right? I mean, they're young. It's easier to just hand them off to the grandparents. It's great. So we took them to a friend's house in the, I'll call it the Hudson River Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a pool. It's great. Scenic. It's awesome. But we took the kids. And the thing that they don't tell you is you're never off, right? Like, because you got to keep the kids from ruining everything at the house and or falling into the pool and killing themselves. So it's an interesting new phase of vacation in my life. But
been
it worked
there.
Out. They stayed alive and they didn't ruin anything. So
everybody has a minimum standard.
Well, they may have ruined one carpet, but I think that's it's right. Replaceable. So,
yeah. Been there, done that. Now I get, oh, you're just so easygoing with it. Yeah, of course I am. All right. So we've gone 10 and a half months of name, image, and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
No regulation.
Mm-mm.
Right? No regulation at all. But also for athletes, to be honest with you, little preparation either. I mean, they really didn't have a lot of time in the run-up. They kind of heard about possibilities.
Yeah.
So now here we are 10 and a half months in. Is there any way to put a percentage of the toothpaste back in the tube, or is this just it?
Yeah, I think it's complicated. I think, you know, certainly my attention was drawn to the Jimbo Saban back and forth last week and how it applies to Penn State, right? And so what I heard, and this is not what the story was, but what I heard Nick Saban saying last week was that Alabama's fan base is not up on what it needs to be able to compete. I don't think he was.
I agree with you. That is exactly what he was saying.
Yeah. It wasn't, oh man, look at these dirty cheaters over at A&M. It was, hey, A&M is doing things that are creating this great success in recruiting and some of the recruiting shoo-ins. I guess that was kind of the core of the point was guys that Alabama could count on coming to Alabama just based on Alabama's history and where that program sits in that region of the country, they can't count on anymore. Like, it's not going to happen. And so I think that there is a very real parallel and corollary to Penn State, right? And that yeah. and that Penn State fans, James Franklin could sit down and say the exact same thing. He could say, hey, this success that some other programs are having right now is due to NIL. You know, it's not, it might not only be NIL, but it's a big part of it. And if you're not competitive in the same space, some of those shoo-ins are not things that you can count on anymore.
Well, this is the traditional NIL of what you would think of would be, okay, I'm in the EA sports game, I should get a fee. Said restaurant wants to use me in advertisements, whether it's on camera, on radio, or in print, or whatever, I get a fee. That's what most people would think of name, image, and likeness. The part that I never really grasped would happen to be the collectives.
Yeah.
And that's, like, for example, Alabama has plenty. I mean, they are the show in that state.
Yep.
I mean, when Penn State goes down to play Auburn, you will still find out Alabama's the show.
Yep.
They're the show in that state. So when it comes to traditional stuff, yes, they're going to get the traditional stuff. The difference is there's no John Ruiz. The difference is there's no Texas A&M oil guy saying, hey, we have a collective.
Yep.
I think that's what he's talking about there. Because I'm sorry about Nate. He wants to spread the collective money evenly among all of his players.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, 100%. He's the model. So this is what struck me was what he said was, hey, you know, this was all well and good. NIL in concept was all well and good until some coaches. Right, tried to figure out how to use it to their advantage, right? And programs tried to figure out how to use it to their advantage. And he's not wrong. That is true. Mm-hmm. It is perverting the game, right? Like college football. So forget all the other stuff, right? This is good for families of college football players. Mm-hmm. This is good for the college football players themselves. Like these are good things for financially for people who have not financially been able to have access to that previously. So like that's kind of undeniable. But what it's bad for is the competitive side of it, right? Within the game of college football. And so I think that the notion of, hey, we're going to make this stuff legal, and it's fine if everybody follows the spirit of what it's supposed to be. That's completely unreasonable, right? Like, that's what people do is exploit things. There is a reason why the NCAA years ago had to enact restrictions on how many color pages could be used in a media guide.
I know.
Right? Right, like that's what we're talking about.
And also how many pages were in the media guide.
Correct, because some places had media guides that were 700 pages, and they were used as a recruiting tool that other programs didn't have access to. They didn't have the resources to be able to do that. And that's a small example, but the point stands, is you are always going to have coaches – places, and I don't necessarily have a problem with it, always trying to get as close to the line as they possibly can.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this new world of NIL, that is exactly what's happening. Is nobody's accusing, I don't think, Jimbo Fisher and A&M, which is why I didn't really understand why he protested as much as he did.
I know. Right? It, not only that, it goes from being a debate to being an argument with emotion. He brought the emotion.
Right. Correct. Correct. It, like, that was the core of what was happening. And I don't think that it came through in terms of the coverage of it or what people were understanding is that Jimbo Fisher is on one side saying, hey, these are the rules, we're playing within them, and we're going to do as much as we possibly can within these rules, versus Nick Saban saying, hey, this is horrible for college athletics. Mm-hmm. Programs are going to need to get cut, right? Like, not football programs, women's tennis is going to need to get cut. This is not the model of what college athletics should be. And so that's the core debate, but it turned into Jimbo hates Nick and Nick hates Jimbo, right?
But that's the way all this stuff turns out all the time anyway, because it gets clicks.
Right.
Not the responsible way of, okay, this is what one guy said, okay, and, you know, let's think about it, right? Yeah, I think that, you know, and that's, but when you do have a transfer, see, the key is Kenny Pickett, my understanding is, it was about $100,000 in NIL last season. And somebody said, why is a, quote, star quarterback on the college level only $100,000? They said, because he didn't transfer.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? Because after we saw the transfer from Kansas State to Miami in basketball, which is alleged to be $800,000, $400,000 this year, $400,000 next year, and a car. Right? Then you had another guy at Miami, whom I think Adam Fisher recruited to Miami, Isaiah Wong. I'm going to the transfer portal if I don't get a better deal. Now it's like, you know, and then the same weekend, Jordan Addison says, I'm out of here, and he ends up at USC anyway.
Yep.
Ironically, with, I believe the rumor is part of the deal is a house. Reggie Bush is looking around saying, hey, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me.
No, I don't know. I think that ultimately, Saban's points were valid in that the only lifeboat here is federal legislation. That's it. It's probably not going to happen. I'm not debating that it's not likely, but the NCAA, as we know it, as a rules enforcing organization, is over. It just is. They have no teeth. No one's afraid of them. Anyone who wanted to transfer previously was able to transfer as soon as they threatened lawsuit. There was no real consistency to some of the rulings that they had. And so now you've got a landscape of people who, again, are going to push as far as they possibly can. Everything has gone amok.
This is what the NCAA needs. And this is going to be very difficult. But what makes pro sports work? Okay? They all have antitrust protection.
Yep.
Okay? You got to start there, because then you can start establishing some rules as to what the rules are. They fought so hard to protect, quote, amateurism forever that they absolutely booted it. I mean, it's their own fault, because they just wouldn't, you know, and the O'Bannon trial was, I didn't realize till today when I read the article that Seth Emerson wrote in the Athletic, that EA Sports offered them money to give to the players.
Yep.
And they were told no. That part I never knew.
Yep. No, because what is this ultimately about? It's about unions and labor and having the designation of a student athlete change.
Yep.
The NCAA wasn't wrong in feeling as though it was a can of worms for what they are, right? However, incremental, and again, hindsight is 2020, that's fine. But it always seemed apparent, and I think that this remains true today, is incremental change. We might have always gotten to this point,
yeah,
right? That could be the case, but it would have been 20 years from now. Like, if you had gone to a place where, hey, you know what, with your football scholarship and men's basketball scholarship or whatever, right, these profit-generating sports, we have a designation and a distinction for these that say that you have the opportunity, not a guarantee, but the opportunity to do certain things that up your income, right, or whatever, mm-hmm. like, yeah. And it, sure. it capped at $40,000. Maybe that would have had to work its way through the court. But everyone, if you had told a prospect, right, who was being recruited even 5 years ago, 7 years ago, that they could go to Penn State, have a full ride, and also have a, let's call it a trust, or like a 401k account mm-hmm, right. that they couldn't access until right. after they had graduated,
right.
that would have $200,000 in it by yeah. the time they graduated,
sure.
no one would have said anything. They would have been celebrating
of course.
For years.
Of course. Absolutely. They would have been celebrating for years. You just wrote an article about Penn State basketball.
On
3.com. And earlier, of course, you'd written about how they want to play. You know, and Mike had already told us that they want to play with more pace. I mean, so when you look at the roster construction they have now, we all know they've tried very hard to get a more experienced big man in here. But what do you see in the roster construction of this team based on when you've talked to them?
More ball handlers, right? Is there are more guys who can handle the ball without turning it over, that you can trust, that can make decisions with the ball in their hands. I don't know that we're going to see necessarily I don't know that it's going to be from last year, which was one extreme to another extreme in the opposite direction. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. But a migration back to not playing that junk ball that they, like, you know, they were slowing it down on purpose, right? Like, I mean, all that stuff was very intentional because if you play defense really, really hard and kept it to a 60-point game, you gave yourself a chance. Whereas
that style was based on his personnel. You and I both know Nate.
100%.
The really good coaches, football, basketball, whatever it might be, they'll tailor what they have to their personnel. He's got different yep. personnel. He can play faster now.
Yep, very much so. Very much so. It's about pushing it more. It's about working off of misses more. And we'll see, right? I mean, look, like, at the end of the day, and you know this as well as anybody, you can get open shots, but if they don't go in, it doesn't matter.
I mean, making shots, I mean, okay, nobody notices anything if you're making shots.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, exactly. Believe me, yep. nobody notices anything. You sit that back later and you're like, okay, they could have done this better, that better. If they don't do this better next time through, they're going to be in trouble. Nobody notices that if you're making shots. I mean, and you got the two transfers coming in on the 11th and the five freshmen coming in on the 18th. So, I mean, that will help them get going because they actually have veterans on this team that are coming back that I think are a big plus for them moving forward. You know, Lundy, Dredd, Dalian Johnson, yes. which nobody talks about, and Pickett.
Yep. Yep. No, look, you got, we'll see how he wants to, differentiate between bench and starters, but all four of the returning I'm going to call them upperclassmen, could start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Like,
sure.
You could start Lundy, you could start Dredd, you could start Dalian. And obviously Jalen Pickett's going to start. So, it is about those guys, I think, taking next steps in their game this offseason and then being able to, well, first of all, have them establish a foundation for all of the newcomers because you got seven guys coming in. Like, nobody would debate that is a situation ripe for confusion. We're trying to meld all of those ingredients right. together when they haven't played together. But when you do have four pieces that I just mentioned who can kind of set a foundation and set the example, you're going to feel good about that.
Well,
the other guys can fall in line.
The next transfer target may be actually a wing and not a big man.
At this point, yes. Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Look, like the transfer portal is what it is. It's a wild west.
And, sure it is.
But, you know.
How's Villanova played over the years?
Yeah, exactly.
Villanova?
Exactly.
Okay. How have they played over the years? Now, they've done it with some special guys, but that's how they played it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that it is, necessarily ideal to not have some level of rim protection in the Big Ten. But you can also play I just see the roster as it's currently made up of having more players who are more versatile than what they had last year.
Always a pleasure. Congrats on the title, the Wanamaker Trophy. You earned it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Great weekend of golf.